I am amazed at how firmly opinions can be held. We all have them. I mean, my opinions, your opinions, all opinions. You want to have a conflict with somebody, find a Android user and tell them that iPhones are the only way to go. Like, no, are you crazy? This is it. We all have our opinions. I have noticed in Austin, this is not a slight, but there is some vehemently strong opinions about who has the best barbecue. I mean, it's almost like you could start another war over this. Who has the best barbecue? Because this is the one. I didn't even know about this. Like, no, that pit, the same name, the same company or whatever, restaurant, that pit is better than that pit because that one's 30 years old and that one's 2 years old. So I have no idea, but I'm just going to, there will be people go to their grave convinced that that barbecue is better than that one because of it. And how many of you say yes, 100% you believe that, okay? Yeah, oh man, there's a lot. Okay, you are here, like you know. It's amazing how much our opinions are here. I have one of a family member, man, she always has this kind of statement. When she finds her favorite recipe, it is the best in the world. Yeah, that chocolate cake. This chocolate cake that I make is the best chocolate cake in the world. And my mind always goes to the movie Elf. Do you remember that movie Elf, which is the classic of all my favorite Christmas movie whatsoever? I know my wife hates it. But the one where he walks by the restaurant in New York and it says, the world's best coffee. And he goes, the world's best coffee? And he takes his girl later and blindfolds her and drinks, and she drinks. He says, it tastes like a crappy cup of coffee. And he says, no, it is the world's best coffee. Don't you see the sign? And that is how some people hold their opinions. We don't shift very easy off of strong beliefs. We really don't. It is hard to shift whether your opinion of music or a movie or a restaurant is great. But when you take it to another level of our beliefs, moving off of that belief is even harder and harder. So we learn to acquire a taste for one thing, and it is hard for us to change our opinion. Sometimes you do the opposite. I mean, I remember in college, sometimes you just want to do the opposite of what people do. But that's really not shifting your paradigm. That's just being stubborn enough to go, I'm not going to do this, so I will choose that. If I was supposed to have my hair short, I'm growing it long. If I was going to have it long, I'm going to cut it short. I'm going to shave it off. I remember in college, at that time, my favorite coat was this old army green fatigue coat. It was cool at that time, you know, and it was it. And it was a nasty, ugly-looking thing, but it was not what I grew up with, so I shifted. But that's different than changing your belief system. We do have to always question that, because when I'm in this third journey, missionary journey of Paul, you're going to watch some things as how they address the message of Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to, kind of the main point of this. Following Jesus will challenge you to change many of your deepest convictions. Now, I want you to just soak on that just a second. Following Jesus will challenge you to change many of your deepest convictions. And why? Because we have built much of our belief structures without God. We have built belief systems within ourselves. What we think, what we value, and it is without God. And we're going to dive into this much more later. But I want you to look through this, so keep that Bible open if you got one around. And we're going to stay in Acts 18 and go into 19, because I want to walk through this little passage and these verses and these chapters here to show what they were doing. So understand, we're already in the third missionary journey. Paul had done two other journeys. We've kind of looked at them. He was going through the land, and he was sharing and talking to people about who Jesus Christ was. This is hard for us to kind of deeply comprehend, because we live in, if I could call it, a Christian world. Now, it's not what we would say, oh yeah, these people are spiritual, they're religious, I don't know what, but there's churches everywhere. We live in a Christian world. Can you imagine this? So just kind of, you have to use your imagination, okay? He's walking out with people that have no comprehension of who Jesus Christ is. They don't know anything about that. They don't know what he is. And he is going place to place. One, he went to the Jews who had this understanding of Scripture. Then he went to the Gentiles who had no comprehension of who Christ was or even the Old Testament, all this thing about a Messiah. And he says, I want to tell you about something. I have to tell you about the truth and who Christ is. And he would spend weeks. So if we go back to this, there are some amazing passages. When I was reading this, look down in chapter 19, verse 19, verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. He went there 3 months. Once again, I'm going back to our opinions. What's the best shoes out there? What's your favorite shoes? Any Nike people here? Any Nike? None. Adidas. Oh, one. Sorry, thank you. One Adidas. One, got an Adidas. What are the other shoes out there even? New Balance. Hokas. Any Hoka people besides me? Okay, I'm a Hoka guy. I have Piccolinos on my feet right now. Is there any, other than Dane, I'm not even going to ask him because he is. Any shoe people, other shoe people, like I love my shoes and I have more shoes than I should have? Okay, a couple. You have strong opinions about this. Can you imagine spending 3 months every day? I'm telling you, Nikes are the way to go. Go to work every day and argue with somebody for 3 months straight about your Nikes or your Hokas or your Adidas or whatever it is going to be. 3 months, he argued with them. He goes, I'm telling you, you're living your life wrong. That's kind of radical, 3 months. I'm telling you, Jesus is the Messiah, and I'm going to show you why. This is not a casual thing. He argued with them. He went and said, this is the most important answer. Jesus. It kind of reminds you of Noah and the ark, right? And you read that whole story, and what are you doing? You're building an ark. Are you a fool? Like, there's no rain. What are you doing? There's no floods. There's nothing. And the end is coming. Yeah. I don't see it. I don't believe it. But he goes back and he says, he argued persuasively. I've got to tell you, let's look on, read this verse. Some became obstinate. I won't even ask how many people know others that are that way, or how many of you are that way, perhaps. We became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly malign the way. Like, I'm stubborn, so I can get, if somebody really tries to double down and convince me on something, I will go, you're not going to convince me anymore. I'm doubling down. I'm not going to believe. They heard him. They listened to it, but they became obstinate, refused to believe. So Paul left them, took the disciples with him, and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. He said, if you Jews are not going to believe, I'm going to go over here. And so it went on for 2 years. This is not just a simple, hey, let me hand you a little message about Jesus. 2 years! Christ is the answer. I saw Jesus. I heard him. I've seen all the messages. I've investigated. I've looked at it. Jesus is the answer. So I want you to back up and just recognize that the trips of Paul, all of his travelers, were meant to change opinions. He wanted to change them. There's a little passage I was listening to Acts last week, and I got some of the passages past this missionary journey. And this is when Paul is already arrested. He's speaking to the rulers, Festus and Agrippa, and he's sharing his faith. And one of the rulers says, are you trying to convince me to follow Jesus? And he goes, I wish every person who heard my voice would follow Jesus. Of course I want you. It's not casual. This is, get in the ark right now. The flood is coming. This is your salvation. This is who Jesus is. Not just your favorite restaurant. Not just your favorite shoes. This is life in itself. And he was so convinced. So recognize, all of his travels were simply to, for one purpose, I want you to change everything in your life of how it's oriented and follow Jesus. If you've been following Jesus for more than 6 months, sometimes we will forget that, how radical it is to follow Christ. Paul had one thing. He says, I want to change your worldview. I want to change your values. And the truth is worth it. He was focused on that, the truth of who Jesus is. Sometimes I think we've lost a little bit of that impact of the truth of Jesus because we've known it all the time. We kind of get casual to it. It's a little relaxed. Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, I've heard about him. Yeah, I saw that name. Oh, yeah, I got a cross. You know, But the truth of who Jesus is that he can change your life. The desire of Paul was for all listeners to be reconciled to Jesus, saved, healed, and restored to a right relationship with God. It's just simply what all of these missionary journeys were about. He had one purpose. I want to see everything. I want to see every person. That's how radical it was. If you're in sales, you have great aspirations. I have these goals. I need to make 1 million sales in quarter, every quarter. I got to do this much every month. I've got to do, and you have this little goal of how many people, that you have to convince to buy your product. That's what it is. I got to have my goal. His goal was simple. I want every person to know Jesus. That's pretty radical. But I want you to back it up. Remember, this is kind of hard for us to forget at this stage, Paul had his whole worldview, all of his paradigms changed. Remember that earlier part in Acts? Paul was going out. What was he doing? He was trying to kill everybody who followed Jesus. Just remember, this guy right here who was preaching persuasively, his goal was, you're in church? You love Jesus? I want you arrested. I want you thrown in prison. If I have my choice, I would love to see your head cut off. That was his. Okay, that's his worldview. That's not black and white. He wasn't indifferent, okay? He's coming on the way to do some more arresting, some more turmoil to the church, approving the stoning as they had of Stephen. And he was knocked to the ground and everything turned upside down. His life was changed. He was blinded by a vision. Cornelius came, prayed for him. The whole radically saved. He went from an attacker, an opponent, to an advocate and a proponent. His worldview was flipped upside down. So this is a man who was so changed that he said, I want you to change. Now, I just want to go that quick because changing paradigms is extremely, extremely hard. We all resist paradigms. We dislike rewiring our brain. It's okay to learn new knowledge. That's kind of fun. I love learning something new. Whether it's coding or history, I can turn it on. I got sucked into even some Amazon thing, the flight of the bumblebees or something. There's some new nature thing about bees. And I started watching it because I needed something that was kind of bland while I was doing something on my computer, and I just turned it on. If you've seen it on Amazon, all of a sudden you go, whoa, a bumblebee can do that? I mean, that's amazing, you know? It's that talent. That's fun to learn new knowledge. Changing your paradigms means I have to admit that what I believe is not right and go on that way. We don't like that. In fact, we resist shifting opinions. I get a survey every once in a while. I don't know why this thing got me in. I hate doing surveys, but there's one survey that I'll do it every once in a while. I don't know why. And it says, which way are you politically? You know, are you this way? And it's kind of interesting. Would you say you're this way, Republican, Democrat, or Independent? And if you put independent, which I'm stubborn enough that I don't ever want to be put in a box, that is my box. Then it asks you, yeah, but which way would you lean? It's like, oh, man, you're really trying to trip us all up, aren't you? It's hard to shift your deeply held beliefs on something. it to really say this is wrong. I've changed my flavors. You know, I can expand some tastes. You know, I used to hate black licorice. Something happened 5, 10 years ago or 5, 6 years ago, and all of a sudden I go, ooh, that's not bad. I can eat black licorice now. Now, not the salted black. If you're a Dutch and Swede can do the salt, that's wrong. But black licorice now tastes good to me. Olives, still of the devil. Okay, I'm not convinced. I try them, they're doing good. But my taste can change. But do I shift my belief? It's interesting, the battles that can come over that. Changing paradigms becomes, first of all, it's a battlefield. It is, people will fight over changing a paradigm. Like their whole belief system, they will fight. I'll give you two illustrations that I saw. And these are not making statements on them, but I just observed this. There was a while, because I'm an outdoorsman, okay, and lived in Montana, I watched these, and a friend of mine was an outdoor writer. So he used to write for Outdoor Life and Sports Afield, and he was an optics editor. So I knew some of these guys that would write for them. And Outdoor Life, it's always interesting. He'd write these stories about his adventure and going hunting elk. And you know, he was a family friend. He actually came to Christ in my grandparents' house when he was 16 years old. And he would write all these stories. And there was one guy in there who made, another writer, who made a political statement about guns. Okay, if you're a gun owner, you're going to believe one thing. If you're not a gun owner, we have two different things on this, okay? I'm not trying to make a statement on which one is better. All I know is he was an outdoor writer who, obviously, if you're a hunter, he had guns. And he said, I wonder if we should look at something. Why is there so much violence? Should we try to restrict it? He was an advocate for all these gun owners. He was crucified by him because he dared give an inch different off the standard line. And he was just slaughtered by them. And I thought, oh, my word. Okay, there is, if you have a slight difference, you are killed. Now, this is not literally, but figuratively, almost cost his career. And I could not believe it. This was before our earlier times. I just saw this in the news last week, the quarterback of the Giants. Did you see him? He introduced President Trump at an event. I don't care if it's Trump or Biden or whatever. He introduced a political party leader, and maybe the current one is more polarizing than others. I recognize that. But it's, no, not really. For the last 5, 6 presidents, we've got pretty polarizing people, okay? So if you vote for one, you're obviously of the devil, and if you vote for that one, you're obviously, you know, it's like that. You know, nobody agrees. And it was, did you catch it? It was a storm. Like, he had responses from teammates. How could you do this? Like, it must have been AI-generated to have you up there. And I don't think he even, if I read it, he didn't even advocate for him. He just said, I'm just introducing the President of the United States. And I watched that and I thought, this is why shifting paradigms is a battlefield. Because if you begin to change an opinion that's deeply held by people, they will literally and figuratively go to war over it. And they will. And they'll fight you on whatever it is. You want to pick a topic? We can make everybody equally mad, you know. I could find loads of these. We could talk through our vaccines. We could talk through women. We could talk through Me Too. We could talk through alcohol. We could talk about legalizing drugs. We could talk about anything, right? You start throwing out, and people go, I don't believe that. Oh, my word. It is just a battlefield. Paul was walking in here and said, I want you to change your paradigm. He didn't care about politics. He didn't. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. He didn't go down that route. He just said, I want you to follow Jesus. That's pretty radical. I want you to follow Jesus. And it became a battlefield. So much that what happened to Paul more than once? His life was threatened. One time he was stoned to death, got up and walked away. People tried to kill him and throw him off a cliff. There was loads of stuff. They became so violent you walked into your neighborhood and said, I love Jesus, what would be the response? Think of it. There becomes a battlefield over this. You can believe a lot of things, but what really challenges people when they say, I do believe Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Because that's what he says. Paradigms are also a quagmire because they're like glue, and we have a hard time moving them. Galileo, centuries ago, said, I do not believe the universe circles around the earth. Remember this science lesson, history lesson? I don't believe it circles around the earth. I believe it circles around the sun. And the church excommunicated him, said he was a heretic, because their paradigm was, if you say it revolves around the earth, or you say it revolves around the sun, all of a sudden you are taking away from God. You're moving it away from God. I've had that same question people toss out before. Do you believe the earth is 15 billion years old, the universe 15 billion years old, or do you believe it's 7,000 years old? There's a philosophy that, yep, God just created this earth 7,000 years old, and the universe is 15 billion years old out of the Big Bang. Interesting enough, by the way, when the theory of the Big Bang was first presented, the scientists did not even want to present that because they said, we think if people believe there was a Big Bang, they're going to look at it and say it was God. It points too much of a creator that created the universe versus now it's the opposite way. So it's an interesting little dilemma here. Go back to Galileo. They would not move off of their paradigm because I believe this so deeply that if you think the galaxy revolves, or our solar system revolves around the sun, you are a pagan. So this is very important to me because I know people who have walked away. I know young people who have walked away really from their faith because as a church, nobody was willing to engage those questions. I'm going to if I make you super uncomfortable, I will, but I want you to understand it's okay to still challenge ourselves. I recently, or a few months ago, watched an amazing video on the book of Jonah. And the guy asked this question, who's a devout, devout Christian, loves Jesus. And he said this question, okay? Did Jonah really get swallowed by a large fish? Or is this a parable? Now, I have presented this thought. What if it's a parable? And I know there is people in the church who will say, if you think it's a parable, then I don't think you're a Christian whatsoever. I go, why? I'm not. And so what really freed me is this guy who loves Jesus. He said, if God really caused a fish to swallow Jonah, or if the book is written as a parable, which it has some factors of it, does it really matter? What is the message of Jonah? It's not that he got swallowed by a fish. It is, are you going to obey God? Are you going to walk through this? And how is God's love for a people who are so lost that he's willing to send somebody to share them? The real message is about this little plant at the end and the worm eating it and saying, you're so sad that the worm was, you lost your vine and the shade over your head that you don't care about a city that is lost. But people get locked up in this paradigm. And I realize, wow. Yeah, true. There's many ways that I thought, oh, you believe this? I don't even think you're a Christian. I mean, wow. How can you do that? Our paradigm, we do not move very easy off of these things. I grew up memorizing some things in King James. Boy, if you have any connections to the old school, like if you don't preach out of the King James, man, you're not even preaching out of the Bible. If the King James is good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me, is kind of the philosophy. And I'm going to go, yeah, think about that one. It's hard. I'm challenging you, and I know this is... Paul was walking around preaching, and he was saying, I am trying to change everything you believe. And it's hard for us. I'll come back to this in a little bit. and it's costly. Changing our paradigms is costly because the self-benefit in saving, in staying. There's a whole little story down here in Acts. Let me get down to it here. 19. They burned all these scrolls, and there was a riot, and there was a... Where's our man here? I'm trying to find him here. Looking too far, too fast. But they had called him in chapter 19. And the silversmith, it was a great line. He says, hey, we all believe Artemis is the great god, but this is costing us our business. If people change, if they change, they're going to quit buying all these silver little shrines, and we're going to lose all of our money. If people would actually follow Jesus, we are going to lose our money. There was, when the great revival happened in Wales, over 100 years ago in Wales, there was such a transformation in society. Taverns closed because all the miners quit drinking. These guys would be down in the mines. They wouldn't come back up because they were having prayer meetings underneath there. Their horses would not move. You know why? Because all of their life, the horses only heard cuss words at them to get them move. You blankety blank blank blank, get moving. And when the guys got saved and transformed, they didn't swear at the horses anymore, and the horses would not even pull the carts. Okay, and I'm telling you, this is costly. It costs people. Like, what? Hey, I got a liquor business going here. Nobody's coming anymore. What? They're not going to the houses of ill repute. What? There's a costly change when you follow Jesus, and our paradigms happen. And so I have a friend who, her mom, she was raised Buddhist. And when you're a Buddhist, a Shintoist in Japan, coming to Jesus means I no longer offer sacrifices to my ancestors. What's going to happen to my ancestors? I mean, think of this. If you deeply held this all of your life, I don't offer sacrifices anymore. Does that mean my ancestors are just doomed for eternity? There is a cost that goes on all things. So let me just go fast over the last two. A couple of common modern paradigms. One of the paradigms is there is no God. I've already talked about that. That's a modern paradigm. So we start with that. There is no God. There is no God. How can I believe there's a God? There's a huge faith to believe there is no God. I will say that. But I will admit there's faith to believe in God. So I can walk you through both of those sides. If you say there is no God, and that's what our society begins with, there obviously is no God, so science is the answer for everything. That's a paradigm. We all walk into that. And many people who step outside this church begin with that principle. That's what you're going to hear in your biology class. That's what you're going to hear in your science class. You're going to walk through that in school. There is no God. And so how do we shift that? And Paul sat there and persuasively did that. I have shared the story before of Colleen, who was raised atheist, and every week we'd go through another chapter of the case for Christ, and it was never an answer. I said, I can't prove there is a God, but what about this option? We'd walk it through, and she'd say, yeah, I guess that is an option. We'd go through it and over and over and over again. Some people have those huge questions. I know people who have walked away from any faith because they do not believe there's a God. And there's a huge shift to say, yes, there is something bigger than me. My son-in-law, who's in doing his chemistry PhD, they lost sound there for a second. I love his line. He says, when I look through the microscope, I see God. And if you begin with an understanding there's a God in this universe, you begin to see his work. I think another common modern paradigm is, I call it YOLO. You only live once, right? Think of all your friends, all your neighbors every weekend. My pleasure is number one. And so anything I can do, anything that costs me my happiness is not what I'm going to do. Because number one is there. I've got to make myself happy. I've got to make myself feel better. There's some modern paradigms that I don't even have on this list. Some, I'm worthless. I'm not worth anything. Nobody sees value in me. Numbing is kind of a paradigm. Can I escape everything? What can I do to escape my pain? What can I get away from? All it is that almost a nihilism, in a sense, that if I can just do something to escape my pain, just to numb it out, give me enough drugs, give me another visit to the cannabis store, feel free, not escape your pain, but just live free and forget everything and zone out, and I'm just going to get away from everything. These paradigms are hard to shift. And so Paul began to preach, and he began to reason. And if you would read 18, 19, and 20 this week, you'll see Paul once again reasoning with them, arguing persuasively, explaining. Some were open to the idea to change, and some were resisting. Some found their power just to stay right there. But Paul is spending his time because he wants to change their paradigms. He wants to change every little aspect of their life. And that's what Jesus calls us to. That's the simple thing. He calls you to change everything. Every orientation of your life is changed. Before Christ, there is one North Star. Who is that? Self. It's me. And when I come to Christ, I realize there's something bigger than myself that I already knew, I always knew. But will I follow him? Here's my simple reflections right here at the end. Where are you uncomfortable at this moment? Where are you uncomfortable with at this moment? What would just challenge you? Like, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to give it up. What if, remember the story where there's a rich young ruler came up to Jesus, and what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And here's the laws, here's the principles. I already do that. I am following everything so awesomely. And then Jesus said, give away all your wealth. Whoa! Now, this is not a principle about wealth, but it was about what he loved more than anything else. It's like your favorite thing. What is deeply held within me is, and I'm my self-sufficiency and all my wealth. And so he wasn't able to do it. And he walked away sad, and Jesus was sad because he saw somebody who was unwilling to make that last change. In any relationship, we deal with that. You have to learn how to sacrifice of your own. You have to give of your own. And there's a lot of times that we're just simply uncomfortable. I don't feel very comfortable with that. Maybe I made you uncomfortable talking about Jonah. Maybe you say, yeah, what? He had to be swallowed by a fish. And maybe he could have. I'm not saying he isn't. But I'm just saying we get uncomfortable when God begins to stretch our belief system. There's a lot of things that I've believed passionately. And I'm always wondering, is there another way to honor God? Can I trust God in other ways? And Paul reasoned and went and argued and persuaded. I want you to know who Jesus is. I'll prove it to you by the scriptures. And he did everything he could so they'd be convinced. Here's number two. What questions and dilemmas are you avoiding? There's certain passages of Scripture I would much rather skip over. I did one of those a few weeks ago, Ananias and Sapphira dying in church. Okay, not a pleasant passage to walk through. They lied about their offering and died. And I don't even know how to explain it. There's passages I would love to skip. Man, and what are you avoiding at this moment? And Walter Isaacson's biography on Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, when he was 13 years old, walked into his Lutheran pastor's Sunday school class and had a Life magazine with a starving child and said, does God know about this? And the pastor dismissed it, said, it's not for you to wrestle with. He rejected it. And so Steve Jobs walked out of that church and decided he would never walk into a church again in his entire life. How do you decide that? Now, I don't have the time to walk through every one of these on this sermon, okay, and this message. There is a quick synopsis is the cost to free choice is also the cost for humanity's ability to do harm. If there was no harm in this world, if God forced it, then we also would not have the freedom to truly love. So there's a balance in deep of that. And those are deep philosophical questions that we can walk through. But the inability to engage that. And I just want you to know you can ask any question. I don't have every answer. But I want this to be a church that we can ask every question. Don't walk away and avoid it. And so Steve Jobs walked away, and I think of that pastor's trivial response, and it hurts. And you can read it in Isaacson's biography of him. But I want to end with a positive point. What has God already changed in you? What paradigms has God already changed in you? Because this helps show that God is working in you and you have changed. God is changing us. Maybe it's actually just loving somebody like you've never loved them before. Caring for them. Like, you used to get irritable at people and you just can't stand them. And maybe you still have days like that. You know, we all do. But is God changing your heart? Are you finding yourself with more patience or more care? Do you have more faith? Nora shared her testimony last week. Did you go, wow, I never realized God can supernaturally heal. God can speak to us. And some people, they don't even believe that God can enlighten the scripture and speak to them. And I just want you to know, God is real. And all my questions, when I talk about paradigms, there's nothing in scripture that I read here, whether it is Jonah, or whether it's Noah in the ark, or Noah in the ark, and all the stories that are around and the miracles, I don't think anything takes away from God's ability to do something supernatural today. He can heal. He can still swallow us by a fish if we wanted to, you know. He can restore us. He can speak to us. An angel can stand before us still today. It's there in Scripture. And I believe it, and I know it. And I've experienced the power of God myself. When you hear Nora's story of healing, you go, wow, maybe I need to start believing for healing. Because sometimes we just give up. God can change things in our lives, and He can change you. God, I don't know if You can change me. Well, He can change you. But God's transformational change happens through the slow, steady process of walking with Jesus and toward Jesus. And I put those two things underlined. We walk with Jesus and we walk toward Jesus. And He begins to change us. Thank goodness I'm a different person today than when I first came to Jesus. So how has God changed you? I want you to be encouraged on that. God has changed you, and He is changing us. And look at you. Where have you come? Now, we might be frustrated today because the process is slow. Have you ever gotten that way? Like, sheesh, why am I still struggling with this? Why am I still battling? Why am I still selfish? Why am I still unable to give? And the Lord says, I am changing you one step at a time. And if I can recognize that, I'll realize I've grown. You know, I made the illustration of Jade. Dane hauled her into church when she was a little kid. She was a baby, and thank the Lord she changed. Actually, everyone, we're really glad when they change. I celebrated when my kids were out of diapers. Wow, that was awesome. You know, really celebrated. That's a big one. You cry a little bit when they start getting independence, you know, and some of those things. I already see Penelope moving away, whatever, it's been a month or two, and I think, man, you've already grown taller, and they just change. But that's part of life. We want that growth, and we need internally, spiritually, to have that same growth, and God is doing it in you. Let's just pause right now and just take a moment in His presence. I'm going to have Isaac, if you wouldn't mind coming up. We'll just close in a song here. I want you to think deeply about how God is changing you. These passages and chapters in Acts were about the Apostle Paul going and trying to do such radical changes, people's lives were flipped upside down. And God is still doing that today. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, if you have been following your own way, today is the day. Today is the day. Make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. He loves you radically. I'm not saying join a church or join a religion. I'm not saying any of that. We're saying follow Jesus Christ. Experience the salvation only He can give. And maybe all your stubborn opinions about everything in this Bible, maybe they're not all right, but you can trust God to walk you through every little step of it. God wants to change you. He wants to change me. One of the biggest things is God wants to look at you and say, you are important to Him. And you're valuable. You're not forgotten. God knows your name. He knows your pain. He knows where you're at. He knows when you're hurting too much and you need some kind of escape. He knows when you're trying to numb it in a drink or an addiction. He knows when you're trying to numb it in distraction, forgetfulness. He's just trying to, he knows you. And he's calling you to him and he's saying, I want you to change. Change everything about you. Lord, we just stop right now. Lord, we just pause for a moment. I ask that your spirit will begin to speak to us here deeply. Lord, I guess I'm asking for something that is I'm asking for your spirit to call to us and challenge us at the deepest parts of our life. Lord, I need to radically flip over some of my beliefs. Lord, I need to just change who I am and be transformed by you. And so, God, I ask that through the power of your spirit, you begin to do that in hearts here today. Lord, Paul, I know you sent the Apostle Paul. He was so passionate about it that he argued and persuaded that Jesus was the way. And I say the same thing. Lord, may you be the only way for me. Not career, not money, not health, not life, not fun, not relationships, but you and you alone. Lord, may my life be like the Apostle Paul who was going on one road and turned and went the other. May I have that same passion to follow you. Lord, change us. And help us to be the kind of people that walk into every situation. And we are so passionate about that same answer that we persuasively argue and show the people around us that Jesus was the way. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just stand to your feet? I'm going to have Isaac just kind of lead this one song. I just feel like we just need to wait in God's presence. And simply where you're at, would you ask God to do something? Is there anybody here who just really needs a physical healing today? I'm just going to hold your hand up. Anybody needs a physical healing? Okay, I got one. Norma, and Nova, Nora, okay? Some of the people that are by them, would you just turn around? If you're a follower of Jesus, would you just put your hand on, Verdi, just turn and put your hand on her shoulder. And let's just pray for a miracle, okay? Lord, right now, we're just gathering on three people that have expressed a need for a physical healing. Lord, sometimes our paradigm is whatever is happening to us is fixed in this world. That there is no God when it comes to our bodies or our health or our healing. But Lord, we declare right now that you are the healer of the body. It is by your stripes that we are healed. Lord, you said to cast our cares upon you. And so Jesus, right now, for those needs that are here, for the deepest needs, for digestive healing, Lord, I pray healing right now in the name of Jesus. For cancer to be removed in the name of Jesus, may that happen. For allergies to be gone, Lord, may you do healing right now. And God, we just ask for us as a church, Lord, for our paradigms to shift, to realize that you can supernaturally intervene beyond any of the natural. Lord, we are so fixed in what is where we are at, that nothing will change. You can change everything. And Lord, may these physical healings be just an example of what you can do spiritually and emotionally in our family. Lord, I pray for those, for children. Lord, I think of somebody right now I know that's just dealing with it in a state far away, just hoping for another child. And going through IVF, Lord, I ask that you do a miracle there and give life for their hopes to finally be realized. Lord, I just pray right now for a miracle, a supernatural miracle. Lord, I pray for people that are struggling with cancer, they may be healed. Lord, I pray for people that are struggling with discouragement right now, that they may be healed. Lord, I pray for those that are trapped by depression, that you may lift off the cloud, that you may grant them joy and freedom. Lord, I pray for those that are wrestling with so many deep issues, jobs and personality. Lord, may you begin to work beyond any of our imagination. And so, Lord, may our minds be changed, not to see the limits that are around us, but to see you, a God of the impossible. I pray that now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to pray a blessing upon you. If you just hold your hands forward. Lord, may the Lord God of all peace and grace and mercy richly change your heart today. Go in the power of God. Amen.